Okay, I was told to look on the back roads between Norman and Slaughterville. Hi, and welcome to KDOU's How Curious. I'm Rachel Hopkin, and this recording is from a few weeks back. So I need to look for a ditch or somewhere where there is exposed Garba sandstone. That's what I'm looking for. Some public access to Rose Rocks. Now, I'd never heard of Oklahoma's barite rose rocks before I moved here. And perhaps this is not surprising, given that they're rarer than diamonds, and also, bar one or two exceptions, are only found here. Most people born here are familiar with them, not least because the barite rose is the official state rock. But in case we have listeners who've yet to encounter one, I asked Oklahoma-born geologist Shannon Doolin to describe what a typical one looks like.
If you imagine taking a rose off of its stem and setting it flat on the ground and letting it sort of open up, that's exactly what it looks like, except for petals, it's made of sand. And it still has like a red-pink color to it as well, because in addition to the barite, there's also hematite, which is an iron oxide, and so that's what gives it the red color.
The first time I began to pay real attention to barite roses was when two of my dear neighbours gave me one as a gift. Thank you very much, Terry and Kathy. It came in a box with a short text attached, which said that to hold it was literally like holding a quarter billion years of history in the palm of your hand. So I asked another Oklahoma-based geologist, Devin Denny, to set the scene for me.
You kind of go back in time in your mind and imagine that the western half of Oklahoma was an ocean. And here in Norman, near the area where the rose rocks are found, this was sort of the shoreline. And just like if you go to the ocean today, you find sandy beaches. Well, that's kind of what we had here. Since sand is something that doesn't go away, it just kind of collects and moves around until it gets buried. And so we buried this rock, and now we call this the Garber Sandstone. So the barite roses form inside the sandstone. Now, to back up, what is a barite rose? They're rocks, but they're minerals in the sense that the rose itself is a series of crystals of the mineral barite. And the mineral barite is made up of three elements, barium, sulfur, and oxygen. Barium it's a metal, actually. It's very, very reactive. We don't find it on its own like gold nuggets, right? We find it always bound with some other element.
So the barium with sulfur and oxygen equals barite. But how does barite then go on to create these rose-like rocks? Here's Shannon again.
All minerals have a specific chemical structure, and that structure that barite likes to form in is tabular. And so each petal on the rose rock is actually a crystal of barite.
Mixed with quartz sand, which is actually what the Garba sandstone primarily consists of. By the way, did you know that the term sand denotes size rather than any specific composition? I didn't until I was making this episode. In any case, that's why I'm clarifying that the sand I'm talking about now is quartz sand. In fact, most of the sand around the world is quartz sand. Meanwhile, barite is itself a fairly abundant mineral. So if both of these things are so globally plentiful, how come barite rose rocks are so rare?
Truthfully, we don't know, but we have some ideas. And that is because in this area, as you notice in Oklahoma, there are oil wells everywhere, right? So we have a lot of really deep basins in Oklahoma that this oil is being formed in. But not only oil, but water. And maybe it's water with a weird chemistry. And so the interaction of this sandstone, which has lots of holes in it, as you push these oil and water all through here, it picks up these weird chemistries. And then, boom, we get the interaction of those weird waters with this sandstone that's at the surface, and we get rose rocks in this little area. It's kind of a strip from northern Oklahoma all the way down to nearly the Texas border, just through central Oklahoma.
You can see a map showing this rose rock strip on our webpage. Just search for KGOU and How Curious. Although pure barite can be used in a range of industrial processes, barite rose rocks can't. It also seems to be the case that although many find barite rosettes attractive, they lack the shining jewel appeal of gemstones. It's possibly as a result of these or some other factors that there's something of a dearth of scholarly literature about the barite rosettes. The work of David London proves the exception. He's an OU geology professor emeritus. And aside from studying them from a scientific viewpoint, London also looked into the culture surrounding barite rose rocks. He describes them as having had a kind of heyday from the 1940s to the 1960s. At the time, quite a few Oklahomans lucky enough to have rose rock veins on their land enjoyed harvesting crop after crop, then passing them on as gifts or for purchase. Local arts and crafts people began using them in their creations, and a Mrs. Mary Jo Kuhlman, who lived just northeast of Norman, became an avid collector, despite her own land proving rather inadequate in this context.
The rose rocks that were on her farm were very crude in appearance.
This is Sally McGill. She's Mrs. Kuhlman's granddaughter.
They didn't have the sharp, lacy edges. My grandmother was always extremely disappointed that she did not have the fancy rose rocks.
Mrs. Kuhlman is nonetheless an important figure in this story because it was she, or at any rate, she was one of the key people, who campaigned for the Bearite Rose to become Oklahoma's state rock. She and her daughter Louise persuaded local politician A.J. Clemens to take up the cause, and in April 1968, House Bill 1277 made it official. A letter Mrs. Kuhlman wrote a few months later illustrates some of the challenges that arose along the way. It's addressed to a pair of brothers from whom she'd acquired some of her most treasured rose rocks. Here's Sally reading an excerpt from it.
I was so perturbed when Senator from Hobart threw fun at the Bearite Rose. He said the Bearite Rose was a novelty, but the Cocklebur was also a novelty. Why not declare the Cocklebur as the state weed? Everyone laughed, and it was dropped at that time. I was so mad. Suggested to Louise for us to send picture to the Capitol so everyone could admire the beauty.
They created a marvelous tableau by arranging multiple rose rocks in the form of branches and affixing them to a cloth backdrop.
And when Senator from Hobart arose to suggest granite as the state rock, he, insert Clemens, took the picture, stood side by side of Senator, and he told Louise afterward, the Senator from Hobart was spellbound from the beauty of the picture and voted the Bearite Rose being the state rock.
As did all of his colleagues. It was a unanimous decision. The original copy of that letter is on display in the Tree Wizard Workshop in Noble. That city was designated Oklahoma's Rose Rock Capital in 1984. A few years later, Joseph and Nancy Stein opened a Rose Rock Museum there, which they ran for over three decades. When the couple retired a few years back, the museum closed, leaving something of a vacuum in its wake. That's when Tree Wizard, which began as a tree service business, came into play. On the day I visited, Brittany Elise Wells told me what happened next.
We opened this shop here because Noble really wanted us to kind of create some tax revenue since we purchased the property for the trucks and parking. And there was a lot of talk about how the Rose Rock Museum had closed down, so a few people had came in with rose rocks and we agreed to purchase them and put them on the floor. And here we are.
The place is now packed with them.
We have all kinds of sizes and shapes due to the clusters.
These form when individual rosettes sort of grow together in bunches.
And each rock has its own unique shape and design. Some of the petals are thick, some of the petals are thin, some of the petals are tight, some of them are spread. They're different shades of red. Some of them you can see the quartz sand a little more. For me, I like the colors. This rose rock right here, it's got some pink, it's got some red, it's got a little bit of black even. So it really is showing all the minerals that you'll find in a rose rock. A lot of people go for size. So this one is a really popular one. People look at that and they're like, oh my gosh, it's beautiful. And it is absolutely gorgeous.
She's talking about the biggest single Bearite rose bloom I've yet seen. It was almost twice the size of my head.
But sometimes those little tiny ones with the small petals just speak a lot too.
Yeah, it's really interesting. The more you look at them, the more you see. There's one over there that looks a bit like a gargoyle face, but in a nice way. What Tree Wizard currently doesn't have are any rose rock arts or craft pieces.
We are actually looking for artists who use rose rocks in their artistic works. I know that it used to be very popular and a lot of people had like a little sprig of grass that had like little tiny roses glued to the ends of it, and I think it was made out of copper or brass. But at this time, we don't have anything like that. We are interested in finding an artist who does that or learning how to develop that ourselves. But yes, they are very unique and they're not very expensive and they are extremely rare and very beautiful.
I left Tree Wizard with a couple of small rose rocks, neither of which had cost more than $5. But I also wanted to see if I could find one for myself. Now, a lot of rose rock veins lie on private properties, and many other areas where they might once have bloomed have been paved over. It's possible that more will meet that fate if the path of the proposed Access Oklahoma South Extension Turnpike falls into the strip of Oklahoma where they're found. Which led me to speculate on their future with the help of Shannon Doolin. Are they still being created?
So we think that they could be, because these formed after the Garber turned into a rock. We don't know when exactly that happened, actually. So any time from right after it became a rock, 250 million years ago, to today.
But if they're not still growing, is it possible that Oklahoma's state rock could become extinct, so to speak?
Probably, but probably not in our lifetimes, I think.
In other words, if you too want to go rose rock hunting, there's still time. And Shannon kindly suggested a couple of places to look.
Stanley Draper, the lake, allows people to collect just a few for your own personal use, not for resale. But anywhere in the back roads on the east side of Norman, between Norman and Slaughterville, you find a ditch that has a red-looking rock in it. Stop, because you'll absolutely find these rose rocks, especially right after a rain.
And this brings me back to where I started this program, hunting around on those back roads. It's a bit squelchy. Oh, is that one? I feel like that might be kind of a proto-rose rock. It took me a few tries, but finally... Oh, look! There's a little teeny one. I've got one. It was just sitting on top. I'd be lying to you if I said it was the most beautiful. It's a small one. It's about the size of my thumbnail. But that is a really small rose rock. I found a rose rock. And it's now sitting in front of me as I speak. And you can see photos of it and many far finer specimens on our webpage. Search for KGOU and How Curious. Thanks to all of the contributors to this episode. Thanks also to Becca at Stash in Norman, Amy Serrato, Ashley Meerschaert, Stephanie Menzie, Laurie Scrivener, Joseph Stein, and Beth Wallace, as well as my neighbours Terry and Kathy, and OU's Pick and Hammer Club. I'm Rachel Hopkin. How Curious is a KGOU public radio production. The managing editor is Logan Layden, and David Gray composed our theme music. And, dear listener, if you have an Oklahoma-related question or idea for a future episode, please get in touch. You can reach us at curious@kgou.org.
We could all use a little help navigating the news these days. The Consider This podcast wants to give you a hand. 6 days a week, we'll help you make sense of the day's biggest news story and what it means for you in less than 15 minutes. Listen now to the Consider This podcast from NPR.